Good evening. Okay, if you can hear me, good. Sit where you are. If you can't hear me, come down this way a little bit further and you might be able to hear me better, please. Y'all ain't gonna think about this, but years ago I took a speech course. And it was Dale Carnegie's speech course. And he said, you tell them, you're going to tell them. Tell them you told them, and tell them that you told them that you were going to tell them. Now get out and go do it. So I always thought that was pretty good. So if I repeat myself, that's why I'm doing it, because you didn't get it the first time. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to share the Word of God. In the last few years of my life, I've missed a lot of that because of I thought I was getting too old until one day God told me, you ain't too old until I take you home. Amen. And so I'm here tonight asking the Lord to bless this service and to bless this meeting. And since it's prayer meeting night, I thought it was good just to talk about prayer a little bit. And we just, in my little message tonight, I want to talk about how Jesus told us to pray. I want to tell you what the words meant in there and the different things that you found in there. And I found, I think it was about 12 different things in these four different scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 11 and 1 through 4. Luke 11, 1 through 4. And then we will start there. And we're going to pretty well stay in that one chapter because of it's what we're trying to do is to really learn how to pray. It was about 6 months ago, somebody passed a book along to Agnes and myself about how to pray for America. Now, how many of you in here want to know how to pray for America? Raise your hand. That's good. That's good. But this book, it taught us a lot. And it made us realize that there was so much that we need to be praying for. For instance, the law enforcement people, the government, the in other words, going to help out those people that are tore up in the storms and the earthquakes and the wars and all of that. And we need to be praying for those people. And I realized through that book that we have a lot of American people that spend their lives trying to help other people. And we need to be praying for them. We also need to be trying to do as much of that as we can. So I just wanted to drive it to us tonight to tell us that we need to not only just pray for things we want, but pray for things that other people need and that other people want. We need to be praying for our soldiers, our armed forces. We need to be praying for a president. Even though we might not agree with him, we can pray for him and God can change his heart if he wants to. So I just wanted to kind of lay a little background here of why I chose to talk about prayer. Well, in this particular chapter, Luke 11th chapter, in the first verse through the fourth, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he said, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In heaven as it so is in earth. I'm sorry, I got it backwards there. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins. For as we forgive those who are indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That was Jesus talking. He was telling us what to pray for. That's just a setting of sign to pray for. And as we go on down further, we'll look at the different names and the different, different things on it. Like we said, our Father in heaven, that's the one and only God. The one and only God is the creator of this universe. And He and the Son and the Holy Spirit is the Godhead of this world. And so we need to, just the first thing we need to do is to recognize who God is and what He is. And then you start realizing what kind of power He has. And then it said, hallowed be thy name. It's holy and sacred. He's very sacred, very holy. He is the holy God. And so we need to realize that, and we need to not only realize that, but we need to pray that as we go, before we even start into the little personal things that we think we want, that we want to pray for, and for the others that we want to pray for. And then the kingdom come, and of course we're looking forward to Jesus. He's now building His kingdom. As every person gets saved, every born again believer is a part of that kingdom. And He's on His way, and He's building that kingdom now. And He's coming back soon. And when He comes back, we're going to go to be with Him. And then the real kingdom, the new earth, the new world will be established after the certain time. And then thy will be done. If you don't know, if I don't know anything else, I know that I want God's will in my life. Because God's will is the best of all. There's nothing compared with it, anywhere or any time. So I want us to do that. I want us to, he said, thy will be done. That's what we need to do. Alright? Where is He at? Where is Jesus at tonight? He's in heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for. And when we do something wrong, when we sin, when we do something wrong, He says, that's under the blood. Charge it to me. And He remembers it no more. And what it says is He remembers it against us no more. It don't say He remembers it. Don't remember it no more. He says they don't remember it against us anymore. So the against is a key word to that. And in heaven. So He's in heaven. So in earth, the Holy Spirit of God is working throughout this universe that we're on. And as He do that, we still need to recognize that. And give us this day our daily bread. All of our daily needs, God will provide. All of our daily needs He will give us. And we need to realize, have you ever stopped to think about the creation out there? How and only God could have created such a universe. And I get excited about watching some of the science and how many things they can develop out of one thing. And the poor guy didn't even have an education, and he was kind of like me about that. But he discovered 68, I believe it was, different values coming out of peanuts. Anybody know his name? I know it, but I can't say it right now. Huh? George Washington Carver, that's right. And he was great at developing all of that, but that was just one thing. By the way, you know where a lot of perfumes come from? For you ladies to put on your face and behind your ear? Off of roses. The roses, they've developed perfumes off of those roses. And that's why some of the roses have, like, Blue Girl. My wife loves Blue Girl. That's a real sweet-smelling thing that you can smell for a little ways around. But these are the things that God done for us. And I do want to stop here and just add this to it. God created this universe and everything that's in it. The birds, the leaves, the trees, the flowers, the water, the air, the everything. God created it, and He created it, and it was, the Bible says it was good. Man messed it up. The Satan messed it up. But God made it and created it. And then He told Adam and Eve, He said, they put them in the garden. He said, now you take care of it. When I get out in the yard and start working, Barry taught me this. He said, just think about it like this. God left us here and said, take care of it, keep it as pretty as we could. Ain't that sweet? So that's a good meditation to be on while you're out there working in the yard. And sometimes it don't get to be too easy. But let's see here. We look at another thing, and it says, He does our daily needs, and then He forgives us our sins. What kind of sins are we talking about? I think of two, omission and commission. What you do and what you don't do. In other words, when you do wrong, you're committing sin. When you put off doing right, you're committing sin. But when you do the right, that's good commission. And then, of course, the commission is kind of like this. You may be a boss man over a company, and you commit to the different ones what they're to do, and you give them a commission to it, do it. And if they do it right, that's a good commit, a good thing. But if you do it wrong, then that's bad. But anyway, it says, forgive our sins. And it also says to help us to forgive those that are indebted to us. Where people owe us something, or where you owe somebody something. Let's see if I can't find that right here. Okay, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. See, it forgives us of our sins if we get in. Well, I do want to end. The next thing I can think of is, God says there is no temptation taken unto man except that He is able to help us overcome. So when you are tempted to do wrong, start thinking of something good. Start thinking about doing something right instead of doing something wrong. Delivers us from evil. That's a thing that we all have to fight with. I'm reminded of a story not too long ago. This group of farmers. A family of farmers, they decided that the neighbors was all selfish and they wouldn't give them nothing, and so they decided they was going to hook up a wagon train and they was going to the west, going to move out west. And so they loaded up and traveled for a few days, and they stopped at this Indian reservation, and they told them, we're traveling till we find some place where the people live good. He said, well, what kind of life do they live where you come from? He said, oh, they were selfish and wouldn't never help you do nothing. They just wasn't no good neighbors there, and that's the reason we're leaving out. He said, that's about the way they are here. So he went on another several days, and they come into another one, and he stopped, and then he asked the chief there, he said, what kind of people you got here? And he said, well, I don't know. So what kind you got, where you got? He said, they wasn't all that bad, but said they just wasn't good neighbors. And said, we just decided we wanted to go for some good neighbors. That he said, that's about the way they are here. So he went on again, and he got to the third place, and the Indian told him, said, that's the way they are here. He said, they just really good. He said, how was it where you come from? He said, oh, they were great. He said, when they kill hogs, they bring you some precious. When the garden was full, they'd invite you to come out and gather some turnips. And said, they was good. They was always there to help you. And said, when my barn burnt down, they come and help to build the barn. He said, they was great neighbors. He said, that's the way they are here. You see, it's all the way you look at it. Now, I have one of my key things is that I say that I'm having fun getting old. And I told somebody if he'd come tonight, I'd prove to him that I was having fun getting old. But he didn't come, so I'm not going to prove it to him. I do have fun getting old. God, he just brings to my memory every day how good God is, how wonderful he is. And not only that, but he also has proven himself, and he's also said he's going to take care of me. So what have I got to worry about? If I get killed, get sick, and die, hey, I'm going to a better place. You see the difference? So I can be happy all the time. Now, I've adopted a little thing that Agnes said, you better not try to sing it or they'll run out of here. But when I was... the preacher was preaching on singing whenever he'd get up in the morning, singing in the shower and singing there. So I said, well, I don't remember many of the songs, but I'm going to start singing something. And I used to lead the booster band in church way back then when Peggy was a little girl, and she's pretty old now. But I started singing that, and I said, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by. Jesus took the burdens all away. I'm doing that every morning as I walk out to the sunroom to pick up my Bible to do my hour with the Lord. Hey, it'll make you believe it. If you don't believe it, try it. You try singing that every morning for 30 days as happy as you can, and I guarantee you, if you're going to see a difference in the way you look at life when you get up in the morning. You ain't going to be dreading getting up in the morning. You're going to be looking forward to what God's going to do today. And then I get so excited and I say, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, this recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And I open my Bible. And I find he is wonderful. So I just wanted to share that little funny with you. Now, I'm trying to watch that clock back there, and I'll try to be out of here at 10 o'clock. Is that okay? No, I won't do that. And he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The closer you are to God, the better he can deliver you from evil. And the better he can turn you away. So just realize that. Now, I've got two questions for you there. Why does God sometimes not answer prayer? Is there a time when God does not answer prayer? I'm talking about in your own heart when you pray and God don't answer and you say, well, I didn't see the answer. I don't have the answer. Why did God hear that prayer? I don't think so. Because there's sin in the way. And the Bible tells us in Psalms 66:18 that if you have iniquity in your heart or sin, God will not hear you when you pray. So, what do we need to do? We need to clean up our life, clean up our heart, ask God to forgive us of our sins and turn from those sins and put our faith and trust in Him and then talk to God and tell Him what we've done. Now, that's good. That's good to do that, is to clean it up. So, He needs to forgive us of our sins. Well, I know that within my being, the Holy Spirit of God has took up a dwelling place in there when I was 14 years old, when I was born again Christian. And it's been there ever since. But I also know that Satan's spirit is still right in there, just digging at me all the time. And if you don't believe it, just think about it when you just lose your temper and fly off the handle. So I don't, I'm not pleased with that. And anything else that you do wrong. And you cannot be happy if you're a born again Christian. You cannot be happy living in sin. Now, the two don't go together. And that's why I say that I'm not saying I'm perfect. Don't say that. Don't believe that. Because sometimes I think wrong. Sometimes I might say something wrong. Sometimes I might even do something wrong. But when I do, the Spirit of God is right there and He's saying, okay, that's wrong. It's time right now to repent. Not wait till the night and get on your bed, knees in your bed, at your bed and say, God, forgive all my sins. No, no. God, I lost my temper today. Please forgive me and help me not to do that again. You see what I'm saying? Repentance is a turning away from that. So, yeah, to my answer to why that God sometimes cannot answer you or does not answer your prayer like you would like. Okay, sometimes God is in the process of answering, but takes longer than we would like. And God answers, but it took time to see the answer. I want to give you a testimony tonight, and if I have time, I'll give you three testimonies, but if I don't, I'll just give you one. When I was 16 years old, Agnes and I was coming home from Jaybird Springs, going to pick up my mama to take her to church, and we had some teenagers that had been out to the Jaybird Springs. We were passing down the street in McCray, and there was a man and a woman and a little boy and a little girl walking down the street with their Bibles under their arm. And the little girl looked like she might have been 4 years old, and a little boy 6 years old. And Agnes and I were sitting side by side. We wasn't dating. It was just a group of teenagers. And she said, that's the kind of family I'd like to have. I said, me too. I went home that night. Now, I'd only been saved for 2 years. I went home that night, and I had learned to pray, and I'd pray and ask God to cause Daddy to let me have the car one night for a day or something like that, you know, and He'd do it sometimes. And so I told some people one time, I said, hey, I can't go, I can get my daddy's car anytime I want it. That boy said, yeah, but you better know when to want it. Anyway, I went home that night, and I had practice ever since I got saved, getting on my knees and saying my night prayers, I guess you'd say, is the way it was taught. But it was to me just like a picture on the wall, a man and a woman and two small children, a little boy and a little girl. That was in my mind the way it was. And I thought to myself, God, give me that little boy ahead so that he can take care of little sister when she starts school. And that's the prayer that I prayed that night. I said, God, give me that. That's the kind of family I want. And I prayed that prayer. Fellas, that prayer never left my heart to this day. And I want to tell you, God answered that prayer more than once. He gave us a boy, 2 years later a girl, 10 years later another boy, and 3 years later another girl, and God gave us four great children that have done so well that if you want to have a long talk and a brag patch, just ask me about my kids and I'll start bragging. But God has been so good to us. He's blessed us that way. And you've got to remember, He started answering that prayer that night because it started in me. I didn't have no goals, no nothing. I didn't even have an education. Was not ready to go. But that prayer started that night in me, and I've never forgotten it. And it's always been, every time. I remember when Barry was born, I said, thank you, God, for starting to answer that prayer. See, God already started answering it when I was 14, 16 years old. But I didn't know it until I was 22 years old. I didn't realize it. And then 2 years later, Peggy came along, and there is, God had answered my first, God had answered my prayer. So, how long did it take God to answer prayer? Well, God's still answering that prayer, and it's still going. And now we got 12 grandchildren, and I think it's 14 great-grandchildren. All of them are healthy, and God is just working, and we got another one on the way or something like that. So God has just been so good to us. And that prayer that I don't know if she prayed it that night or not, but I know I did, and I know it was just like that picture on the wall. God just said, "You got it, buddy. You don't get it." He even finally got us out of the poorhouse and fixed it so that all of our kids could go to school and go to college without going in debt and get their jobs. And I don't have a kid that ever knows what a 40-hour work is. All of them have worked long hours. They get the job done before they leave their work, and all of them have good jobs. But we just thank God for that. Now, it looks like I'm running out of time, so I'm going to give you one more. When we moved to Macon and started the church after about 3 or 4 months, 4 or 5 months, I started going to church, and by that time Agnes was expecting the baby, and we started going to church. And when Barry was born, I made a rededicated my life to the Lord. And I said, now, I'm going to tell, and I bargained with the Lord. I said, I'll never do anything that I tell my children that they shouldn't do. And I'll quit smoking. I quit smoking right then. Didn't smoke no more. And I said, I'll always try to be a good dad to them. And ladies and gentlemen, I married the sweetest mother ever lived. She used to tell them when they come home with a report card, if it was 98, she'd say, is that the best you could do? And they would say, yes or no. And sometimes they would say, well, I could do a little better. And she'd hug them and say, well, I know you will. And she said, this is the best I could do. And she'd hug them if it was a 70. She'd hug them and she'd say, I know you will. That's good enough if that's the best you can do. And she taught them from the word one, and I guess I taught some of that too. We don't quit. We keep going. We keep pushing forward. And so in that particular family, let me get my thoughts back here together. In other words, God answered that prayer. But it didn't come all at one time. Now, you think about it. You say, well, I prayed, and maybe a little bit of it today, but why do you think God said live one day at a time? You just let me take care of the way what's going to happen. You let me take care of that, and you just live one day at a time. And don't you fret, and don't you worry about it. And so, I can tell you now that God does answer prayers, and that God does keep His word, and that as long as you stay in the will of God, as long as you keep your life clean, God is going to work miracles in your life. And I just praise God for that. Okay, I got 3 minutes. God answers prayer of my wife one time and I'm going to make this one short. I got sued one time for, they said I lied about something, but I didn't. But I got sued for $970,000. And I knew that I was not guilty. I knew it wasn't so. But I didn't know whether I could get by or not, because this was a suit and the lawyer done took it and was running with it. So I prayed all night. Agnes prayed all night. The next morning I got up and went to work. I sat down at my desk and I sat there and cried and prayed and asked God, what in the world am I doing? Because I knew that if I lost that suit, I knew we'd be broke forever. We'd never get over it. So she come in about, I think it must have been about 8:30 she got there, and come up and put her hand behind on my shoulder here, and she said, it's going to be all right. She said, I got my answer this morning. She said, you call Ben Garland and turn it over to him. And I'm going to stop it right there except to say this. Ben Garland, when I went in and talked to him, told him what had happened, showed him the thing, he looked at me and he said, Grady, are you guilty? I said, no, sir. He said, okay, let's pray. And when he said that, peace rolled over me like a wave or river you've never known. And all he had to do was go through $6,000 of my money to get that lawyer to drop that thing. And he told that lawyer, and then he said, do you want me to sue them for that money back? I said, no, sir, I don't want him to hear about it no more. But that prayer, Agnes said she got that answer early that morning and said that she had peace roll over her like she had never had before. Now, God answered that prayer. But it had to do, let God do it His way, not me try to do it for Him. So, listen, when you pray and you ask God to do something, you ask Him for something. You ask Him to help you do something. Then you go ahead, and as He helps you, you do it. And if you don't, do it. And you just keep moving slow. Now, I want us to pray tonight. Before we pray, I want us to sing a song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many of you know that song? Okay. Come up here and lead us, sweet. And we want to pray that Sweet Hour of Prayer. And let me tell you something. Unless you know that Sweet Hour of Prayer, you're missing something big in your life. So take time to be with the Lord in prayer. And then, by the way, pray continuously. Every time you do something that you need to know about and do something, just go ahead and ask God about it right then and let Him do it. And I just thank you so much for listening.